Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, your pastor, and we're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, and this is chapter 4, 22 verses in this chapter and some commentary. Let's ask the Lord to anoint this service. Lord, when you anoint, life comes forth. It's the river of life, your word. We must be in your word, and your word must abide in us. Otherwise, there's no way that we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. You are the word, so if we believe on your word, we have eternal life, the whole word, not just... we cannot reject any of your word. Your word is precious, and it's very precious in these days. There isn't much of your true, unadulterated word preached today. People pick and choose, and they leave large sections of your word out, which means that they despise large sections, large parts of you. And so, Lord, we have to, if we love you, to love every word that proceeds from your mouth so that we can have life, and we have to deem every part of you precious. You are the Word. Jesus, you are the Word. Father, you are the Word. You three are one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and we, the church, all four of us are one because we're all the Word. Lord, let these words and everything said here become nothing more than whatever comes from you. That's all we want, is for you. And Lord, let it give us the power that we need to stand another day in life, and let us bring forth life this day in others, Lord, by you ministering yourself through us. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
All right, 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1.
The Philistines capture the ark, King James Version, verse 1. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. Verse 2. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men.
Right. And when the children of Israel were not keeping the commandments of the Lord, and when people are not in the Word and pay no attention to what the Lord says and pay no attention in doing what He says, the Philistines are upon you. That means every devil in hell are upon you, and there's no way that you can escape. There's only safety in the Lord, in the Word. Amen?
Amen.
So keep the Word and live. Then what?
Verse 3, And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Verse 4, So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. Verse 5, And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. Verse 6, And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. Verse 7, And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore.
And what was in the Ark of the Covenant? The Word, amen.
Amen.
And when the Word of God is present, people fear, amen.
Amen.
Well, they get scared, afraid to hear what the Lord says. But especially when people are not right with the Lord. They know they're not keeping the word. They're fearful. And it's not a godly fear of the Lord to do what he says, but it's a fear that something bad could happen to them and that they would not be able to go into heaven, that maybe the Lord will take your life and send your spirit right into a burning inferno where there'd be impossible to escape. It would be absolutely impossible to escape. There's no exit doors in hell or the lake of fire, and there's no parole. It's just there forever. Then what?
Verse 8, woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods?
Yeah, who can deliver us from out of the hands of God that opens the Red Sea and knocks down the walls of Jericho, these mammoth walls that are so thick that you can build homes in them. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness.
Amen.
Verse 9, be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight.
Yeah.
Verse 10, and the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. Verse 11, and the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain.
Right. Well, the Lord promised that they would be. Amen.
Amen.
Because here they are committing adultery with the women that come to worship and fornication with them. And so naturally the Lord punishes nations corporately. In other words, if there was even one person that is sinning, the entire body of Christ is impacted. They are cursed until these people are killed or somebody, the Lord takes them out of the way. Anyone that thinks that they can sin in a church and that the whole church is not impacted, they don't know the Word of God. Because the Lord impacts or punishes the entire, or blesses the entire church. If you're doing somebody and there's doing evil, like Achan, he troubles Israel, the whole body of Christ, the whole body of God. All right, so you have to be careful to don't be trying to act like you're crazy, or if you're a woman, like you're going through the change of life. If you're of the Lord, you're not going to be acting crazy. I don't care if you're going through the change of life, or if you were crazy before, or if there was something wrong with your mind. It's not the insanity, is the spiritual matter. If you're not doing the right thing, it's because your mind is not concentrated on the Lord, it's on something else. Okay, let's go.
Verse 12, and there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. Translation, verse 1 through 12. The Philistines capture the ark. At that time Israel was at war with the Philistines. The Israelite army was camped near Ebenezer, and the Philistines were at Aphek. Verse 2, the Philistines attacked and defeated the army of Israel, killing 4,000 men. Verse 3, after the battle was over, the army of Israel retreated to their camp, and their leaders asked, quote, why did the Lord allow us to be defeated by the Philistines? Unquote. Then they said, quote, let's bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh. If we carry it into the battle with us, it will save us from our enemies. Unquote. Verse 4, so they sent men to Shiloh to bring back the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim. Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, helped carry the Ark of God to where the battle was being fought. Verse 5, when the Israelites saw the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord coming into the camp, the shout of joy was so loud that it made the ground shake! Exclamation mark. Verse 6, quote, what's going on? The Philistines said. What's all the shouting about in the Hebrew camp? Unquote. When they were told it was because the Ark of the Lord had arrived, they, verse 7, they panicked. quote, "The gods have come into their camp," exclamation mark, unquote, they cried. Quote, "This is a disaster," exclamation mark. "We've never had to face anything like this before," exclamation mark. Verse 8, "Who can save us from these mighty gods of Israel? They are the same gods who destroyed the Egyptians with plagues when Israel was in the wilderness." Verse 9, "Fight as you never have before, Philistines," exclamation mark. "If you don't, we will become the Hebrew slaves, just as they have been ours," exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 10, "So the Philistines fought desperately, and Israel was defeated again. The slaughter was great. 30,000 Israelite men died that day. The survivors turned and fled to their tents." Verse 11, "The Ark of God was captured, and Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were killed." The death of Eli. Verse 12, "A man from the tribe of Benjamin ran from the battlefront and arrived at Shiloh later that same day. He had torn his clothes and put dust on his head to show his grief." King James Version, verse 13. "And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out." Verse 14. "And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, 'What meaneth the noise of this tumult?' And the man came in hastily and told Eli." Verse 15. "Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see." Verse 16. "And the man said unto Eli, 'I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army.' And he said, 'What is there done, my son?'" Verse 17. "And the messenger answered and said, 'Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken.'" Verse 18. "And it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died."
This is because he never chastened his sons. I never reproved them or anything. He just, "Don't do that yet." You know, here they are having sex with these women and desecrating the burnt offerings. They're not even burnt offerings. Lukewarm. The Lord says, "Be red hot or I'll spit you out of my mouth. And when I do, your neck is liable to break and your kids are liable to be slaughtered." All right? So, you know, the Lord... It does not love people unconditionally. You hear this all the time by these false prophets on television. They say that the Lord forgives you for your sins, past, present, and future. No, he does not. When he washes all your sins away, it's your former sins, and then he says, "Go and sin no more." Why? Because he that sinneth is of the devil, the Word of God says. All right? Now, put that in the ark, you know, the Word of God is in the ark. And, you know, you can carry your Bible all day long, but if you're not keeping the commandments, you can carry the ark with you all day long. But, you know, we're not to worship a book. We're to do what the book says. I mean, this is more than a book. It's God himself. Amen?
Amen.
Put down in words so that we can understand it, because God is the Word. Christ is the Word. Amen?
Amen.
It says, "Believe on the word of God and thou shalt be saved." Believe on the word of God. Revelation says Jesus is the word of God. And John, the first chapter of John, says that he is the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And that God is the word of God. So believe the God, the word of God, and thou shalt be saved. It says, "No, Jesus, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Yes, Jesus Christ is the Word, so believe on the entire Word of God, then thou shalt be saved, okay? And don't drop any of the Word on the ground, because you see what happens here. It's very important to discipline your children to make sure that they do what the Word tells them to do. Because when they don't do, if you've got a bunch of kids and they lie to you and you tell them to do something and they don't, it says obey your parents in the Lord, okay? And it says the same thing about wives. be obedient to your husbands if they're of the Lord. If they're telling you to do something that is not of the Lord, if they're telling you to leave the house of God, you're not to listen to them at all. I mean, because God has to be first in your life, the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Above your husband, your wife, your son, your daughters, all your loved ones, there anything that you put before God, the Bible, the Word of God, Jesus, God Himself, tells us that that's an idol. And it says, do not worship idols, any idol. If you are so bent on money that that's all you concentrate on all day long is money, that's your idol. But, you know, we have to, I don't care if $1 trillion came into the church, I would still be here preaching the gospel, because that's, I'm God-centered, amen?
Amen.
And the minute that you take your eyes off the Lord and start putting your eyes on money or any human being, then you're gone. You're a goner. The Word is what's going to... Now, you keep the Word of God, and God will give you money, and He'll give you... But just don't pay attention. Just use it for the Lord anyway. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, to keep everybody... to have sustenance in the house and all that. But... money can't buy you happiness, and money cannot buy your way into the kingdom of God. And all these people are saying, these false prophets say, send money to me, and God will just bless you. Why? For sending money to a false prophet? Huh? God's going to bless you for that? Doris Bradley, I've told you about him. He's a friend of mine in Nashville. He owned the 5 Sgt. Pepper stores. He was in competition with our store, the Alamo of Nashville. And he said, boy, he heard on the TV, you know, that this guy was preaching. If you just, he says, send me money, just take a bunch of bushel baskets and put them in your front room and just sit there and God will fill them up. He said, boy, I sent him everything. I emptied my bank account and sent it to the guy. And I'm sitting there, you know, with these bushel baskets, and not even one penny came into it, let alone $1 bill. And so he asked if he could have a job working for me or at the Alamo of Nashville. And when he did, he says, my God, he said, this store's taking in 100 times, hundreds of times more money than all my 5 Sgt. Pepper stores combined. I says, that's because we don't believe false prophets, Doris. Okay, kind of funny for me to hear a man's name Doris, but, you know, it doesn't make any difference. He was a good guy. I really liked him, and he was not a queer. Okay? He was just a stupid. Okay, spiritually stupid. We wised him up pretty fast. He said, I'll never do that again. I says, well, good. Okay, then what else?
It came to pass when he made mention of the Ark of God that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years.
Well, that's another 40-year term person. I've served the Lord 40 years myself. I hope my neck doesn't break. I don't think so. I think the Lord wants to keep me around another 40.
Amen.
All right, then what else?
Verse 19, and his daughter-in-law, Phinehas's wife, was with child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the Ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. Verse 20, and about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. Verse 21, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband.
I don't want to ever have to name one of my kids Ichabod. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 22, and she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken.
Okay, now the translation.
Verse 13 through 22. Eli was waiting beside the road to hear the news of the battle, for his heart trembled for the safety of the ark of God. When the messenger arrived and told what had happened, an outcry resounded throughout the town. Verse 14, quote, "What is all the noise about?" Eli asked. The messenger rushed over to Eli, verse 15, who was 98 years old and blind. Verse 16, he said to Eli, quote, "I have just come from the battlefront. I was there this very day," unquote. Quote, "What happened?" Eli demanded. Verse 17, quote, "Israel has been defeated," the messenger replied. "Thousands of Israelite troops are dead on the battlefield. Your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were killed too, and the Ark of God has been captured," unquote. Verse 18, when the messenger mentioned what had happened to the Ark, Eli fell backward from his seat beside the gate. He broke his neck and died, for he was old and very fat. He had led Israel for 40 years. Verse 19, Eli's daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant and near her time of delivery. When she heard that the Ark of God had been captured and that her husband and father-in-law were dead, her labor pains suddenly began. Verse 20, she died in childbirth. But before she passed away, the midwives tried to encourage her. Quote, "Don't be afraid," they said. "You have a baby boy!" Exclamation mark, unquote. But she did not answer or respond in any way. Verse 21, she named the child Ichabod, quote, "Where is the glory?" unquote, murmuring, quote, "Israel's glory is gone," unquote. She named him this because the Ark of God had been captured and because her husband and father-in-law were dead. Verse 22, then she said, quote, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God has been captured," unquote.
All right, that was 1 Samuel chapter 4. That was the 22nd verse, and that ended that chapter, and now I've got some commentary.
4 verse 1. The Philistines, a non-Semitic people who migrated from Crete first in Abraham's time, 2000 B.C., and again in 1200 B.C., lived in five cities located in the southwestern part of Canaan. Gaza.
Okay, they're not Semitic people, and so these are the Palestinians, and so they don't belong there in the Middle East. However, if they got saved, then they become welcome there and here anywhere as with the people of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But the Philistines are the same thing as the Palestinians. The Palestinians are the same. Okay? They're non-Semitic people. Right. They have intermarried with Arab, all kinds of Arabs and things like that, and so that's what makes people think that they are Semitic and that they belong, but they don't. Okay, then what else?
Gaza, Ashkelon, Ekron, Gath, and Ashdod. Aphek was in the foothills about 20 miles west of Shiloh. 4 verse 3, quote, "Why has the Lord defeated us?" unquote. They blamed the Lord for a defeat brought on by their own sin and ignorance. 4 verse 4. The Ark of the Covenant was a chest which contained the tablets of the law of God.
Well, let's just go back there, yes. Now, people are blaming God, you know, for everything that happens. People will sin and are worshiping Buddha, Muhammad, all different types of religions, and they don't worship the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't worship the Word of God. They don't care anything about the Word of God at all. And then God sends one of these tsunamis on them, or a twister, or a typhoon. And then they say, "Why did God do this?" In other words, we want to worship the way we want. We want to worship any God we want. And then let God bless us. You're worshiping, these people are not worshiping any God at all. These are false gods, and God promises that if you do that, he's going to destroy this entire earth. He's going to burn it with fire just like he did, swallow the entire earth up in water during Noah's time. And so people say, or their son or their daughter will get killed in an automobile accident, say, "Where was God?" Well, God says that I was in the same place when my son got killed for you. And you people did not care anything about that. If you would have been walking in the Spirit, you would not have been in that vehicle because I was trying to talk to you to tell you don't go out on the freeway today, and instead you are chanting to Muhammad or to Buddha or to some other false god. And then don't blame me, because in my word, which you reject completely, I give you the blueprint of how to be blessed and how to not have your children killed. And if you would have been keeping my word, I would have in the spirit come down and told you to get out of Indonesia or hit higher ground, because I'm going to send a tidal wave to destroy all the wicked people that are that don't listen to my word. And there's no other way that I can wake people up than to destroy them if they do not do what I tell them. Now, I did that to my own chosen people, the Jews. And if you people don't listen to me, I have promised that I'm going to do it to you. I'm going to send earthquakes. This is not Mother Nature doing these things to you. In divers places, I'm going to send monsoons, tsunamis, I'm going to send tidal waves, I'm going to send pestilence, famine, floods, everything that I've mentioned in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew and throughout the Bible. And I'm going to put curses on you in every way. There will be diseases that have never been known to mankind before that will be smitten on you. You must live in my word. Live in my word, because the word is God. Live in God, because in God there is no death. You will never die. Your body, which is temporal, will die, but your spirit will go on to be with me forever. When your body dies, it won't be more than a flash of a second, 1,000,000,000th of a second. What do they call that?
Huh?
In 1 nanoseconds of a second. That's, you look it up in the dictionary. 1 nano of a second. That is 1,000,000,000th of a second. You'll be right in the kingdom of heaven. You won't even know it. It's just the same way when God took Sue and me up in the clouds. We were looking up at the clouds, and all of a sudden we're looking down at them, and it happened in such so fast that it was just like sleight of hand. And both of us knew that the Lord was playing with us a little bit. And the Lord does have a sense of humor, and he does play with his people that he loves like that. And he'll show you things that he's never shown anyone. He's just showing us how fast that death will come to the saints, you know? And I thought, man, we're looking. And Susie, we were holding hands when we were looking up. We just got married. And she dug her fingernails into my hand. She says, "Do you see what I see?" And I said, "Yes." And she says, "What?" I said, "We were looking up at the clouds, and now we're looking down at them." She said, "That's right." And she dug those real long, sharp fingernails right into my hand. And I'm looking up there, and I said, "My God, this is incredible." And I says, "Is this heaven? I don't like that, you know, just looking down at a cloud. You know, I hope this isn't what heaven is all about. I hope we're not in heaven right now, because I don't want heaven to be this boring, because we're just looking down at a cloud." Well, heaven is not like that. It's the most exciting place in the whole universe. But so I didn't like it, and then I started getting scared. We're standing up here in midair, way up in the sky. And I looked down, and the minute I looked down at the ground, we were looking back up at the clouds. Now, you may, and Susie saw the same thing at the same time. That's exactly what happened when we saw both the flying saucers. We were two witnesses. We witnessed flying saucers, and we witnessed that. That was and many other miracles, too numerous for me to mention at this time. This right here, all throughout the Bible, it tells you when people are not keeping the commandments, when they're not walking in the Word, when they pay no attention to doing what the Word says all day long, when the Word is not living in them, and they're not living in the Word, living the Word, letting the Lord, the Word of God, live in and through them, you're going to get cursed. There's just no other way. You can't shake a disease. there's something wrong with you. You need to get in more into the Word. You need to start abiding. And quit saying, well, oh yeah, I know, but I forgot. The Bible says those that forget the Word, God will tear you to pieces. All right? So if you got something wrong with your body or your mind, that's you. That's your problem. Amen? Don't say you're going through the change of life. Because if your mind is stayed upon the Lord, you'll have perfect peace and a sound mind. Amen?
Amen.
But if your mind is not, you're going to be just like all the other nutcases in this world. All right? Because their mind is not on the Lord. Their mind is on the beach, laying around, having sexual, promiscuous sexual experiences and all sorts of devious ways of living. They're out there drunk on narcotics and drugs, oh, here on Paradise Island. Well, here comes tsunami. Okay? Sweet tsunami. You know, it's sweet to the Lord, you know, because He hates the workers of iniquities and those that refuse to listen to what He says. Nah, we don't believe you. Send a tsunami. Hey, we just thumb our nose at the tsunami. We're bigger than tsunamis. Huh? Ha ha. Okay, then what? Let's go.
The Ark of the Covenant was a chest which contained the tablets of the law of God that He had written with His own finger. The basis of Israel's covenant relationship with God.
See, God wrote the Ten Commandments with His own finger, and He also wrote the handwriting on the wall over in the Old Testament, you know. And I believe that what He was saying, "Meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin," you know, that your kingdom is over with and everything in the book of Daniel. That when Jesus was stooping down writing in the sand, that's what He was saying to those guys too. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, chumps. Meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin. Your kingdom is over. And man, they all shot out of there like Rice Krispies out of a cannon. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. The Lord showed me that the other day, that that's what He was writing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's keep going.
The elders want the ark as a reminder of God's presence among them and to inspire courage in battle. The cherubim were two figures molded from pure gold situated on each end of the ark.
See, it's the Word of God that gets people. It either gets you or you get it in you and you keep it. Otherwise, you're nothing but plaster. And the Lord will put a mark on you. Meeny, meeny, tickle, you farce, and you're over with, chump. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
You're out of here. Okay? You'll never see the light of day again. All you'll see is fire. So take these warnings from the Lord, from the Word, from the God. Thou art the God. Thou art the God. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Thou art the God. All these other gods are not gods. Thou art the God. Every tongue is going to confess. You're the King. You're the King. The King of kings, the Lord of lords. We were nothings. You're the King. Yeah, you're all going to say that. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that. So make the Word precious to yourself and do yourself a favor and live. Amen?
Amen.
These words are not meant to offend people. They are meant to save your soul. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
4 verse 8, quote, "Who's mighty God," unquote. Though incorrect in their understanding of Yahweh, the Philistines' remark shows a greater respect and fear of the God of Israel than Israel has.
Yeah. Then what else?
4 verse 18. Excavations from this time have uncovered large stones, have uncovered large stone benches without backs, which were often beside the city gates. 4 verse 22. Shiloh was never again the center of the nation's worship. 4 verse 16 through 22. Eli and his family, and indeed the entire nation of Israel, suffered the terrible consequences of disobedience. Eli and his sons died, the Ark of the Covenant of God and his glorious presence with Israel was captured by foreigners. This may remind us of how the refusal to abandon our selfish attitudes and lifestyles brings suffering upon ourselves and family, the people close to us. This is illustrated in Eli's family by Eli's daughter-in-law. With her final words, she named her baby Ichabod, meaning, quote, where is the glory, unquote, 4 verse 21 through 22.
You know, those Pharisees, when Jesus was writing that in the sand, many of them, the Bible says, knew that he was the Son of God. They knew he was the Messiah. So it says, we know that you come from God, amen, because no man has ever done these things that you've done. And so when he was writing that in the sand, it brought back those scriptures, because the Pharisees knew the scriptures from Daniel, and he was doing that. That quickened their thinking a little bit, amen?
Amen.
He said, now those of you that have not sinned, you cast the first stone. And in the meantime, meni, meni, tekel, upharsin, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that, boys? Handwriting on the plaster of the wall. Okay, then what?
With her final words.
See, everybody, I've never heard a pastor get that from the Lord, you know? Never before, I've never. And the Lord gave that to me. Because they say, nobody knows what he wrote in the sand, but I believe he did this and that. I know what he wrote because he told me. I'm not saying I don't believe, I know it. Okay, because I got it from the source. Okay, then what else?
With her final words, she named the baby Ichabod, meaning where is the glory? For the glory of God had departed from Israel. Before she died, she acknowledged her hopelessness.
The glory of God is us. And there can't be an us unless we're in the Word. Amen. And so the Word of God was in there. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord wrote it, the Ten Commandments, with his own finger. Just like he wrote the handwriting on the wall. That wasn't Satan. Or that wasn't Mohaji Baba that wrote that on the wall. Amen?
Yeah.
Mohaji didn't speak in that language, Babylonian language. But the Lord speaks in all languages. Amen?
Amen.
So he's able to write with his finger in sand, on plaster, and on granite. And on you. Okay, then what?
Before she died, she acknowledged her hopelessness, but it was much too late for her and her family. The process of life recovery is not easy unless you are walking in the Spirit. It is very easy if you are. It involves complete surrender in order to be in the Spirit.
Complete surrender to the Word of God. You must become the Word of God. You must become one with the Word, which is Jesus, which is God. Okay? And that means you must become life instead of the death. You're walking around a dead person. If you're not in the Word, you're dead. Wake up, be alive. Amen? Don't be a dead person. Pretty priest. Okay, what else?
No one loses anything, but they gain a lot more, and the Lord takes all of the pain and difficulty out of this sort of thing. Yet the death of this young woman and the shattering of Eli's family should warn everyone about what is at stake, and it should warn us of the seriousness of God if we do not reserve the Word of God in us. We must preserve in our quest for spiritual maturity in faith.
Faith in what? The Word of God. The Word of God must abide in you. If my words abide in you and you abide in me, the Word, then you shall ask whatever you will. And the ark will come back. Amen? The ark will always, and no one can take that ark out of you. Amen? Because that's the glory of God. Because once the ark leaves you, there's no more glory of God. You don't give glory to God anymore. All right? Okay, so that was 1 Samuel chapter 4. With this 22 verses, translation and commentary. so let's just keep these things in our mind, you know, that we must be the Word of God, members of Christ's body. Until chapter 5, this is Pastor Tony Alamo, and I am your pastor, and if I'm not, I want to be. Amen. And so God bless you, and praise the Lord.